Welcome to the All Things BMX Show. This week's episode, 197. Three away from that big 200 number.
Three to go.
We got John Cruz hanging out with us tonight. We're cruising with Cruz. John has a heck of a story. We got a little tidbit before we jumped on the air here. It is going to be a burner. Look, you guys, we're coming at you from the ATB headquarters here in Heartland, Michigan, where if you're not here before 9 o'clock, that town's going to close right after that. So if you guys are here,
yeah,
welcome in. We appreciate you.
This traffic might start blinking.
Chris and I are at the Dye Job Apparel News Desk. Dye Job Apparel offers full design and production of custom apparel, customer promotional items, vinyl decal, you name it. Look, if you can put something on it, Sean can make it for you. Get over there now, elevate your brand. And we have breaking news from the news desk here at Dye Job Apparel News Desk. Yesterday, it was Homie Mike's birthday.
Yes.
It was.
Beer Budget BMX.
Beer Mike Budget's Melvin. Own. Mike Melvin celebrating another birthday, turned 21. Happy birthday, Mike. We appreciate it. 21. And all the support you do for us. If you guys are looking for a side hack, that's who you got to hit up.
Hack Shack. He'll take care of you.
Melissa, back at the Gate 9 Producers Perch. Melissa, how are things going?
Excellent.
That's good.
Good night.
Good to go.
It's going to be a good night here.
All right.
And just like every week, Danger Snack brings you our guest in here.
Yeah. Got to get your Danger Snacks.
Do you read the same tube every week?
Yeah, I know. I'm trying. I want to make sure I
You think it's going to change?
I don't think anybody can even see it anyways.
No, I watched the show the other week.
Can't see it. There's no sense. Even if I put it really close to the camera.
Okay. Why we put the logo up there. When you guys are ordering your own Danger Snacks that you can read, make sure you use the discount code SHITSHOW and you'll get your own discount.
Because that's exactly what it is.
Ordering. Tonight. Oh, what?
I have these.
You probably
awesome
can't see that either.
Danger Snacks stickers.
God damn it.
We're
going to get a
Brian
patch.
Dorsey is a little plug there.
We're going to get a patch of that and put it on your Patterson jersey you got that you busted out this evening. Tonight's chat question brought to you by our good friends at BMX Rocks Photography. It's actually brought from one half of BMX Rocks Photography. Mo sent this one in for us. Do you wear goggles? Why or why not?
Ah.
You? When you race, do you wear goggles?
Yeah, I do.
Do you?
Yeah.
Why? Is it corrective?
No, they're not corrective, but usually it's the sun. I have issue with bright light.
Glare.
With my vision issue, so I wear tinted goggles.
Okay.
And I have had, you know, like dust and stuff get in my eyes when I'm racing, but that was a long time ago and it was a one-time thing, but it's mostly the
when you went really fast that one time?
That one time when I was really moving.
What time? Is that when you got all your discounts and sponsors?
That was
that one time?
Yeah.
Made a reel out of that one, sold that one, didn't we?
I got the hookup, and that was it.
Hey, what do you think about people that wear them without the lenses?
Why?
I don't understand that.
Like, that's really a thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
I get it if you're sponsored, right? You
know, we could ask John about this, because I'm sure they did this back in the day. They used to have contingencies for all this stuff. Like Amy Grips, they had goggles back in the day.
Okay.
And they actually had Patterson goggles. And I think
surprised you didn't wear them tonight.
Oh, they're still in the tote in the garage.
It doesn't surprise me at all.
In the Patterson tote?
Yes, they are. With all the other stuff.
Oh my god.
But they would have the goggles on, and maybe they didn't want to wear them, but if you had them on, so they put them on the helmet and then like stick them on the visor, so they were on their head, but they wouldn't actually wear them.
So burning question, gotta know. Did you have a bro deal for helmets back then?
No.
Or for goggles, I mean?
No. No bro deal.
I don't believe that.
For any of that. No. Back in the day, no. In the 80s? No, I had zero.
All right. Our lightning round is brought to you by 110 Nutrition. When you guys are ordering the best supplements you can get on the market, make sure you use All Things BMX for a 10% discount. And as always, our show doesn't happen without the full support of the following companies. So when you guys are shopping for your BMX needs, make sure you guys head over to Ghetto Wear, the Hack Shack, DB Sports, Mega Design Group, BMX Race Supply. All the links and phone numbers and all that are in the show notes, so you can check them out.
I'm over there.
Get over there. Get over and check them out. Without further ado, take it away, Chris.
All right, so we're going to welcome in our guest tonight, Mr. John Cruz. And our first question is the same as we always ask everybody. How did you first find out about BMX?
Hey guys, thanks for having me, first of all.
Sure.
And love your show and all you guys are doing for BMX. Keep it alive. So thank you.
Thank you.
So, how I found out about BMX was my dad bought me a Schwinn from the dumps, and we put it together, and I used to just terrorize the neighborhood, and there was a kid in the neighborhood, Adam Molinar, and his dad used to take him racing to the PAL Police Activity League in Vallejo, and he just invited us to go one day, me and my best friend, Richard Wagner, and we got our little Schwinn Stingrays together and went to the races, and I kicked ass.
Did you?
And won. Awesome. And I just was a natural at it, but that was the beginning of literally what has consumed my life.
What year?
It was in the 70s, and I don't know the exact year. I believe it was 75.
Okay.
And, you know, we had our BMX idols then from Vallejo, Ronnie Sampson, Nick Trujillo, Greg Turnage, and then, of course, the Anderson brothers as I got older.
Yeah.
Such a good sport, such a good sport.
You guys had some big names come out of Vallejo, didn't you?
Well,
besides yourself.
Yeah, Ronnie and Richie, you know, they are the greatest, duo next to the Pattersons, I would think, two brothers. But it was a hard town, it was very blue collar, it was military, and we were just scrappers, but when you're kids, you just get up and ride your bike, I literally can remember I must have been 10 years old and riding my BMX bike across town and letting the air out of the tire and calling my mom and, finding a payphone and saying, "Hey, Mom, I got a flat. Can you come get me?" Because I wanted to ride till dark, and I was supposed to be home before the streetlights came on.
What a great idea. There's a hack right there.
I remember walking to school at 5 by myself. I mean, it was just a different time, right?
Sure. Yeah, it was totally different. Yeah. Yeah. So you started racing. How long? Oh, you said you won right away. So how long before you started hitting some of the bigger races or bike shop sponsorship, that type of thing?
So my first sponsor was, I'll never forget this, was Todd's Fine Cars. It was just a potluck, and somebody gave us a jersey, and we were on a team. And the hotshot team of the area was a bike shop called Sunshine Bicycles. And Speedo was just starting. And I think there was another one called Hank and Frank Bicycles.
Okay. Yeah.
And I started riding for Sunshine Bicycles, and then everything started opening up. I started going to local nationals, California, Arizona, Nevada, that type thing. Okay. Like I've always said, I was never a winner. Per se, I just never won. I wasn't a dominant rider, but I had style, and I just had natural talent. I could ride the shit out of a bicycle, period. And that's what kind of catapulted me. It got me in magazines and got me noticed. From Sunshine Bicycles, I went to Speedo, and. Okay. I was on Speedo just for a short time before Speedo dissolved and turned into Patterson Racing. And the rest is history, right?
So Speedo was started by the Pattersons and then became Patterson Racing.
That's correct. Okay, they had a deal where somebody made forks, the Speedo forks, and I think Brent was riding a champion at the time, we were all riding different frames, but with Speedo forks.
Okay.
And Patterson, Vance Patterson, the great babe, as we used to call him, he was going to take over Speedo, and something went haywire. And, you know, as a kid, I certainly didn't know the business in, you know, ins and outs. But ultimately, he just said, we're going to do our own team, and started Patterson Racing. And Brent and Brian and Vance and Gene, they're like my brothers and my other parents. So I've been on Patterson three or four times over the years. Every time I lost a contract or something, you know, didn't work out, I always went back to Patterson. Even half the time when I was on Redline or Skyway, I traveled with Team Patterson most of the time.
Okay.
So
they took care of you.
They have been just phenomenal partners in my life.
It's great.
Even through the Parkinson's, and they just unbelievable family.
Good. All right. So we got to get them on here sooner or later and hear their story then.
Oh yeah. I'll make that happen.
Okay. Appreciate that.
You've got a lot of people in the chat commenting about you that we'll jump in, but there is one person chimed in and made a comment about your jump move called the cruise.
Yes.
Yeah.
So how that came about was we were in SoCal at a race.
That's it right there on the screen.
That's it. Yeah, that you have on the screen. And that was actually in between motos, and there was just this big pile of dirt that was left over. And, you know, when you're kids, you're just jumping. You're just riding. I mean, there was not enough motos. If I could double them, I would ride more. And so I'm out in the parking lot hitting this jump, and Oz says, do that again. You know, he lays down on the ground and shoots the photo, and it just becomes an iconic photo. And there it is, Hot Shots. And I still to this day can do it. But not on a bike. I just do it in my mind. I still get the feeling, right?
Right. That's all that matters.
That's all that matters, right?
Dude, you're pulling out some good photos. Old cruise jersey. I don't have one of those. That's pretty cool. Look at that.
This guy found them.
That's awesome. I see you sporting the Patterson jersey there. I love that.
Yeah. Thank you. Yep. Yeah. That was my. We're eating dinner tonight, and I was telling my wife a little bit about you and one of the guys I looked up to as a kid and that stuff, and she says, well, he rode for Patterson. I said, yeah, part of the time. She goes, you need to get your jersey out. And I said, okay, Shelly. And she got it out, and she ran an iron over it. It's, you know, it's 40 years old, but yeah. So
yeah. I have a great story. So I didn't save anything. You know, everything that I have in my little archive now is because people have given it back to me or graciously found it. I was telling my wife the story that I didn't have a jersey to leave my kids. And somehow, some way, she found somebody on Facebook. Apparently, it was a national in Nebraska, and I had won the race something. And I came across the finish line, and I handed the jersey to a little kid. And 35 years later, he donated it back to my wife. Whoa. As a surprise. And she surprised me with my original Redline jersey I hadn't awesome. Seen in 35, 40 years.
That's insane. Wow.
That is so cool.
Yeah, if that doesn't give you goosebumps, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
But I thought it was pretty cool. I don't know if you guys know, but I do metal art. Mm-hmm. And I've done a piece of art that I donated to the BMX Hall of Fame. It's a big giant red line piece of art. And Robert Lane is going to donate a reproduction of one of my bikes, and I'm going to put this jersey together with it in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's
Oh, there you go.
amazing.
Yeah, I thought
That
that
would
would
be
be pretty.
awesome.
Wow.
It's probably that exact jersey that you see in the photos.
Right.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
Yeah.
Literally.
How did you get into metal art?
I've just always loved being creative. And I do graphics and websites and jersey designs and digital media.
Okay.
But I've always tinkered. I'm a hands kind of guy. And I bought a welder years ago. And next thing I know, I'm making all these art things, you know?
That's awesome.
So I started making art pieces for my friends and heroes and just sending them to them and presenting them to them. And everybody seems to be really moved by that. So I just kind of kept the ball going. At Frog Town, I made a guitar. I made this metal guitar. Matter of fact, I'll grab one real quick when we get a minute. And at Frog Town, we used it at a banquet to raise money for Parkinson's awareness. And there were three guys going at this guitar, right? Wanting to win it. And I think the price got up to $1,200.
Wow. Dang.
And Miranda was the MC, Hollywood.
Oh,
And
geez.
he comes over to me and he whispers in my ear, he says, "Dude, you want to make some more guitars?" I said, "Yeah, sure." So next thing I know, he turns around, he goes, "Sold to all three of you. You get three custom guitars, one each." So we raised, almost 4 grand.
That's amazing.
That's how that works.
Yeah.
I've seen that
Well,
before
you
some of
get
these.
that. I'm throwing this on the full screen here.
Is
Then
that the
I'll cut. There you are.
So this is one of my personal ones. Weighs about 50 pounds. It's all made out of car parts
That's
and
some serious
all
gears.
handmade.
What? That's
Little.
amazing. Wow.
Are those spark plugs on the top?
They are spark
That's
plugs
so
and cogs
cool.
and just different kind of stuff. And so at any rate, that it just it's kind of going to be my next life, right?
Yeah.
As being an artist and see if I can monetize. I've done a couple things. I bought a plasma table and I'm making these cool clocks and
Yeah,
stuff like that.
I was just going to ask if you intended to show
Yeah,
and sell.
he's got some of that on his website.
Yeah, so I designed the trophies for Frog Town last year, and if you haven't seen them, they're like this number plate and handlebars. And so I thought, that would be like a cool clock.
You're going to see
So
him
there
now. Yeah.
I made one for the Dirty Fest
Oh, that is a
coming
great clock. What an awesome
Oh,
idea.
there we go.
So there are all these different designs, and if you go to the website, you'll see like all vintage logos,
Oh.
JMC, Patterson, Boss, I mean, you name it. Just kind of cool, funky
It
stuff.
is cool.
Wow.
I think Austin, if you're listening, I think we just found the awards for the Rumble race.
There you go. That would work.
Oh yeah, if you want to do I'd love to design an award for you guys. I just love doing it.
Yeah,
It's
that'd be
fun.
great.
Okay. We'll get
I'm
a hold
scrolling
of
through.
you.
I'm on the web your website, which you guys can go to. It's onehasbeen.com.
ONE.
Which you got a lot of cool stuff on here. What was the idea behind this?
So, I was just making stuff, and people would ask me, "Hey, make me a fire pit, or make me a lamp out of a gas can, or just make me something that comes out of your head," And So I just started listing them online, and I mean, literally, I have local stores around here that carry my stuff, and like that fire pit there, that thing's like 5 feet long. They made a bed, just kind of
Wow.
random stuff,
Oh, flower bed.
and so local stores carry it, and you know, it's not for everybody. I mean, it's funky art, and but people in the BMX world, I'm going to start doing things that are BMX related, and I think they dig something from an old has-been like me. So
Yeah. Well,
they're all handmade. You know, I mean, I literally cut it, grind it, paint it, ship it. So.
those clocks are amazing.
Yeah, and
those are
those
cool.
are only
That's a
65 bucks.
very
Like
reasonable.
that's, you know, we
Like we
might
do
need
like
to.
these little man cave items, like that sits on your desk and it's 3D BMX,
Oh, yeah.
business card holders. You know, they're little number plates. They hold
Oh, wow.
cards.
Oh, I might need one
So,
of those on my desk.
well, I'm making a clock for you guys. So,
Oh,
Oh,
that would
hey.
be
All right.
amazing.
That would be awesome. Then we'll know what
Yeah.
time it is.
Oh, they don't work.
Oh.
It's a piece. It's a
It's just
showpiece. It's art. That's right.
just looks like a clock.
So if somebody wants to get a hold of you to have something made, what's the best way to contact you?
Oh, usually my number's on there, my
Okay.
phone number, my email. They can always reach out to me on Facebook. I'm wide open. You can get through to me. But if you go to the website, you can upload your own photos. So if you want a certain vintage photo of you racing on your clock, they're
Okay.
all custom. So you'll see some in there that I did one for Brian Patterson, some cool photos. I mean, they're very, very individual.
Okay.
I love it.
Cool. That is sweet.
That is a great outlet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's something kind of funky.
Right.
What do you got? Because
Oh,
it's.
I was just going to swing back into the racing in that a little bit,
Sure.
unless you want to go into the chat or.
Melissa, was there anything jumping out? Yeah, you guys got questions, put them
No,
in there because
no
we'll.
questions yet. L
All
lots
right.
of comments and stuff, but we can do that later.
Okay. Yeah, you guys got questions, BMX questions, any questions, go ahead, throw them in the chat because we're going to do a chat check-in and we can get your questions to John right here during the show.
Make sure you like and
No,
subscribe.
nobody asking for streaking or anything like
Not
that.
yet, but I
No.
feel like that's on its way now.
Only if Mike Miranda's in the chat, if he'll be asking
So
stuff about that.
the streaking, you know, came about because I never had any money. You know, we were always on tour, and freaking Brent and Brian were getting first and second, and Cruz is out jumping in the parking lot, right? So I was always broke, and like we talked about summer tours, you live for summer tours. Monday through Thursday was just free for all, you know, but you had to find stuff to do, and you're in Michigan and you go to, you know, wherever somebody says go here, you can go to swimming hole or something. And so we lived for that, but I never had any money, so everybody would dare me to streak. And I did it all the time.
Race for
And
tacos.
oh, dude, they'd start piling money into a hat. And it was like, okay, when it got up to a certain point, you know, well, I don't, it wasn't much. It didn't take much for me to get my pants off.
So you're saying you're a cheap date.
Dude, I was serious cheap date. And Hill will tell you this story. I went streaking in somewhere in Texas. We had a national there, and little tiny town in Texas, and there was a McDonald's, and it was prom night, and everybody in this little town went to McDonald's on prom night. And this place, I swear to you, it was like a California bar. It was so packed, right? packed with people, and I jumped into the McDonald's and went up and ordered a hamburger and then just stripped off my clothes and started running through the McDonald's screaming, and everybody started chasing me. All these, you know, rednecks were going to kick some ass on this California boy. Yeah, it was so much fun. I loved traveling with BMX. It literally made me the man I am today.
Well, you know, before we jumped on, you know, you were discussing the tours, right? So there's a lot of people racing right now that have no idea.
I was just going to say, they don't know anything about this summer tour stuff.
Yeah. And like, what were, for you, you were saying Monday to Thursday, you know, that was when the shenanigans happened. But you know, in a snapshot, what was a summer tour like?
Well, you know, you'd all pile in a motorhome, and a lot of the teams would travel together. So if it was, you know, Team Redline, Team Patterson, Team GT, SE, you know, in their big bus. I mean, literally, you got to remember, we're 17 years old, you know, 15, 16, 17 years old. And we're turning, you know, these young kids loose with a parent.
Right.
Yeah, we've heard some of those stories.
Vance was the parent, Vance Patterson. And, you know, he was just as bad as all of us. and I got some great stories about him, but he, you know, you're traveling, you're in California, and you got to be in Arizona for the next weekend for the national. And you just had to survive that week. Well, you know, training was just riding your bike. So we would just go from town to town and ride our bikes. And I had played so many games of horse, you know, where you do a jump, you one hander, the next guy had to do it, you know, or a no hander or whatever it was back in there. And I mean, I'm doing this with Stu Thompson, Greg Hill, Jeff Ruminer, you know, Brian Patterson. I mean, the Kobe Bryants, the Michael Jordans of the sport, and there's Cruz. You know, I'm just, you know, I'm in awe of these guys that I idolize, that, you know, just really molded me into who I am, you know. And we lived for tours. Tours were just amazing.
So basically school got out, you hit the road, and you didn't come back until what, a week before school started?
And there was that's absolutely right. We were gone all summer, literally all summer. And my parents would typically, we had a motorhome, and I would travel with whatever team I was with. And they would typically drive out to Florida, which was usually halfway through the year or towards the end of the tour, and meet me and usually, you know, surprise me or whatever. And then they would, you know, make the haul home while I stayed on tour for the rest of the time. I remember I was probably about 18 years old, must have been 17. I was a senior in high school, and I was been on tour all summer long. And I got a call from Lynn Caston, who owned Redline. And Lynn said, I need you to go to Europe. And I was like, you know, back then you just didn't do international events. Right. They were very, very seldom. And he says, you know, I need you to go to Europe. And I remember thinking that summer I was tired. I was ready to come home. And he was like, well, you got to go next week.
Oh my gosh.
And so literally, I think we were in New Jersey, and they took me to the airport a couple days later. And this is the honest to God truth. This is how crazy it was. 17 years old. They dropped me off at the airport in New York. I probably had $200 in my pocket, and I was told to fly to Germany. There would be a ticket for me. and to wear my red line jacket and carry my red line bike box.
Oh my
and this and they would pick me up, and I flew into Munich, and the guy that was supposed to pick me up, the importer, forgot me. And we didn't have cell phones or anything.
Yeah.
So I didn't speak the language. Wow. I remember going to the Western Union, getting my mom to send me money, more money, and I ended up spending the night in the airport. My mom reamed Lynn Caston's, you know what, the little baby was, you know, in Germany,
stuck in an airport.
Stuck in an airport. The cool thing is that the guy, and I wish I remembered his name, that was the importer back then, picked me up and felt so bad. He felt horrible. And he hands me this wad of cash, right? Here, everything's taken care of for you. You know, don't worry. And he owned a Porsche dealership. And he gave me a Porsche to drive on the Autobahn at 17 years old.
Oh, my God.
Right, how fast did you get it going?
I ripped that thing apart. I had so much fun. I had the greatest time. It was a show called the ISPO, and it was the largest sports show in the world. It was like Interbike on steroids for every sport you can imagine. And my whole job was to literally ride my BMX bike with my jersey on and ride wheelies, do bunny hops, do 360s, bunny hop chairs. I did that for like a month. I just rode around.
A month?
It was awesome.
I was on tour.
I was in Munich. I was in Frankfurt. I was in the Bavarian Alps. And he was also the importer of Frisbee, the brand Frisbee. So this guy was legit. I mean, he was big business. And I traveled with this husband and wife team, this total hippies. And they had this like 60s VW bus. And we traveled around from city to city just hanging out and riding wheelies and spinning Holy Frisbees. God. It was a cool gig.
And you're 17.
17.
Cruising around Germany, Europe, basically, not Germany, the whole, wow.
So,
holy cow.
Buzz Lavera in the chat was wondering if you rode in the 1980 Red Line Tour of the country. You were involved in that one, particularly. Absolutely. Came to Michigan that time, maybe?
I'm sure we did. Yeah. There was a series of, you know, it's funny, I remember a lot of things that we did and I can't tell you what state I went in. I just remember things that happened in different places. And
just present.
I believe we probably traveled to just about every state in the country over the years. You know, I had the opportunity to tour a lot of times. I mean, it was at least half a dozen tours, summer-long tours, and go to England, New Zealand, Australia, Germany. I mean, I really had a great life, you know.
Those were the days.
Yeah.
Wow.
They're awesome. You know, but when I quit racing, that just came to a point where I was just burnt out. And I hated selling, trying to constantly get sponsors and they didn't have agents back then. They didn't know what we were doing. You know, there were a few guys that were doing really well. You know, the Brent Pattersons, the Greg Hills, the Stu Thompsons that were making, you know, good money, living, you know, buying homes. And I never was at that level. I was, you know, lucky to get a few thousand a month plus bikes and travel expenses. Mm-hmm. But I just, when I quit racing, my parents, I didn't have any education. I had, you know, street smarts and just high school education. My dad said, you ought to open a bike shop. And, you know, I was like, man, I'm kind of over bikes, but it was kind of the craze of mountain bikes. You know, mountain bikes were just taking off. And I opened a bicycle store in Folsom, California. And I owned that for almost 30 years.
Wow.
And it was recognized as a top 100 dealer in the nation by your peers, you know, the industry. And I really, really made a success out of it. And I ended up selling it to a big chain to take on a new challenge in my life. And I think it's owned by Santa Cruz Bicycles now.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that was Bicycles Plus back in the day.
Yeah, it was Bicycles Plus. And then the company that bought it was called Mike's Bikes. And there are, you know, a couple dozen store chain. And it was just time to move on.
That wasn't the only store you were involved in, though, right? Or was it later on you got re-involved?
I had multiple stores, multiple locations. Okay. I was also a silent partner on a store called Kinetic Cycles.
That's what I'm remembering reading. Yeah.
Which is still in existence. And we were one of the first concept stores by Specialized. So if you're in this industry, it's a big deal. You know, I think my Folsom store was doing about $3 million a year in sales. I mean, it was a real viable business. So,
wow.
You know,
that's great. I'm glad to hear
I
that.
I loved it.
Yeah. So. And then what'd you do once the shop was sold? What was the next chapter?
Once I sold the stores, took a little hiatus, bought a ranch and, you know, got some chickens and
that's not what I thought you were gonna say.
Oh, I grew a little weed, you know, in California. You
know, who doesn't, right? Yeah, I was gonna say. Ronnie says everyone does.
Yeah.
Just about. You can go in my neighborhood without smelling like pot. So yeah, we had a little farm there for a while and then I realized with no money coming in, that money that I sold and made sure funneled out a lot quicker. And,
yeah.
Right.
And it's like, I need something that will at least drip and fill the coffers a little bit. So a very good friend of mine hired me and I worked for a company called Left Coast Wi-Fi and our client is Facebook. So I'm a Facebook employee and I do communications within their company. So
that's wonderful.
It's been a little job, but
great.
Yeah, I've been there probably, 8 years now.
That's awesome.
So that company works, you guys work directly for Facebook?
Yeah, so okay. I have a Facebook badge and I literally go to their campus, which is in the Bay Area. That's the only bad thing is it's about a 2.5 hour commute. So we have a place down there that I travel down and I'll spend 2 nights a week at the house down there and, you know, work basically part-time and,
that's pretty cool.
Get all those likes.
Yeah, I know, right? I've never met anybody that worked for Facebook. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a total unicorn. I'm Republican. You know, it's like they're all 20-something string bean Democrats there.
Oh, I bet. I bet you stand out.
You're probably this live feed's probably going to get blacked out here in a minute.
Oh, great!
What the hell is John doing now?
The first person to get us kicked out of Facebook.
Facebook shut John down. Cruz.
We've been shut down before. Oh,
well, that's true. We have.
Yeah, we have.
That's awesome.
So I am representing. I think we talked a little bit about it. I got my Haro shirt on.
Yeah, what's going on? Yeah. What's going on?
So, Haro approached me. Craig Phillips, thank you for your support. He came up with the concept, you know, went in the backyard, before he went at the track. And so he's all about grassroots. And he said, you know, we'd love you for you to be a representative for us. And, you know, I'm not racing anymore. but my goal is just to continue riding a bicycle.
Right.
And maybe this summer, take an e-bike and maybe do a race. I still have some ability, but some limitations with my Parkinson's. So you'll see me out there again. So thank you, Haro Bicycles, and believing in me and realizing the value that an old man can bring to a young industry. So,
well, yeah, congratulations. That's cool.
Yeah. They've been awesome.
Yeah. See, you can still get on a bike and scoot around. So that's cool.
I still can. Yeah. A lot of it's fatigue. I get very fatigued quickly, which I don't know if it's the age or the Parkinson's, and a little bit imbalance.
Yeah.
My equilibrium's a little bit off, tend to fall a little more than usual, which really sucks because I always had a talent for keeping it on two wheels, you know?
Right.
So that kind of ties right into the charity that you started around raising money for Parkinson's.
Yes.
And is that still an active thing for you?
So, yes and no. I started a charity years ago with one of my customers from my bicycle store, Lori Scheel, and she and I became best friends, and she was raising money for cancer research, and this was kind of the craze of the, I'm losing train of thought, but Lance Armstrong craze.
Yeah.
And I wanted to raise money for Parkinson's. So we combined our efforts and we created a nonprofit that was called Ride for a Reason. And it was a dual charity. We took half the money and gave it to Parkinson's and half the money and gave it to cancer research. I'll never forget. I just saw something that was just reposted from like 15 years ago. We had raised something, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 for cancer. And we went to the UC Davis Children's Oncology Ward. Mm-hmm. And we walked in and we said, hey, we've got a bunch of money. We want to donate it, but we don't want to just write a check. Because we wanted to, you know, talk to the nurses. And we talked to the nurses and we said, if you had money, what would you buy? Because, you know, when you're in that environment, you run by a big corporation. Mm-hmm. And a lot of strict stuff. We got this list that was like double what we had. You know, we didn't want to let anybody down. And I mean, it was everything. It was everything from computers to toys, but it was everything that the kids could physically use and make their life better. And I'll never forget, we called up Walmart corporate, and I knew somebody who knew somebody. And Walmart corporate stepped up and said, we're going to take your $30,000 and we're going to turn it into 60 or whatever. And we had this big U-Haul that we rented, and we filled it with just tons of stuff. And we drive up to the UC Davis Oncology Children's Ward, and we start unloading all this stuff. Man, I'm telling you, there was not a dry eye in that building.
Oh, I bet. And wow.
First of mine, you know. It was so moving to be able to do something like that.
Wow.
And so we did that charity for quite a few years. And when I sold the business, the charity went away. But I kept on the Parkinson's movement for the Davis Finney Foundation as a spokesperson, self-appointed spokesperson.
Nothing wrong with that.
I actually speak to Davis. Davis and I are friends, and he's doing well. And if you're not familiar with Davis Finney, Davis is the winningest American road cyclist in the history of professional cycling.
Wow. Really?
He's bigger than the Lance Armstrong. He's bigger than the Greg LeMond level. I mean, he
Really?
really is an amazing athlete. His wife is Connie Carpenter, the Olympian, and Davis was inflicted with Parkinson's, and he made it his mission to not only try to find a cure, but to realize that people living with Parkinson's and their caregivers need direction and help, and that's what his foundation does. And the BMX family, or the brotherhood, as I like to refer to it, the BMX Brotherhood has embraced the Davis Finney Foundation on my behalf, and certainly made a lot of contributions and awareness, which is very humbling.
That's amazing.
That is cool.
We
I'm
had
not familiar with that one.
we ra at Frogtown last year, we raised, I think it was a little over $10,000,
Wow.
and then a silent donator matched it.
Wow.
Wow.
And I believe it was the Pattersons.
Silent hush hush.
I haven't asked them, but I'm pretty sure.
That's
That
amazing.
is really cool. Wow.
So the BMX community has just been very supportive, and they don't treat me like an invalid. They say, "Hey, and we love what you're doing. Everybody deals with something, and we love that you're still keeping BMX alive, just like you guys, telling stories and getting out there and helping out." So I just love being a part of this family. So
That's
That's
amazing.
really cool.
Wow.
Actually, we should say that's really rad. That's what we should say.
Dude, I missed the whole rad rebroadcast. I called up Brent and was like, "You guys got to go to this," and we missed it. So
Yeah.
gotta wait another 30 years or whatever it is.
I you can buy it on Amazon.
Yeah, I think I have a copy of it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Melissa does.
Yep.
Melissa does.
I don't know why I do, but yeah, I do.
Well,
I've watched it twice.
when we were in Florida.
Jones?
No,
That's why
I
you
know
know.
why I do. I'm just kidding.
What's that?
Is Crew, isn't his name Crew Jones
It
or something?
is.
Yes,
It
yeah.
is.
The heartthrob, right? The
Right.
eye candy. I mean,
Well,
I don't know.
yeah.
Hey, did you ever catch the sequel to that by any chance? Heroes of
No.
Dirt?
No.
Don't. Don't.
Pretend it
Oh,
doesn't
not
exist.
worth
You know,
it.
first of all, tip of the cap to the people that put it together because they did crowdsourcing, but
Yeah.
it was rough.
And
It
you know
was a
what's a
rough
kind of
one.
a good movie that's kind of cool is that Stew Stompin' Stew.
It is.
Yes.
You know,
Like
cool movie.
the documentary about him and
Yeah.
yeah.
Is that we watched it on the cruise,
We
right?
did.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah,
Yep.
we went
Oh,
on
if
the
you guys went on the what's it called? The
Mighty
cruise?
Mo's BMX cruise, yeah.
Dude, I think I got to do that.
Oh, you'd
Oh,
love it. You got to go this year.
110%.
You got to go this year in December. You got to go this year in December.
I got to look into that. We need to
Stu's going. I know Stu's going.
Oh, I'm out.
Stu's got to go get his reigning title of dodgeball champion again. Got to defend
That
his
guy is
title.
an animal, just in
Beast.
anything. He's embarrassing his washboard stomach.
I said this story before. We were playing dodgeball, and I run up and throw it, and the some bitch jumps right over. I'm like, he jumped as high as a hockey board,
Right?
straight vertical. And then I was like, you just threw a dodgeball, Stu Thompson. It was wham, you're out. Like,
was gonna
Yeah,
say.
he's an animal. He's definitely gives us fat boys a bad name.
Didn't
Yeah.
he do the belly flop contest on the last cruise?
On the
Yes,
last
he
cruise,
did.
he did the
Oh,
belly
yeah.
flop.
Yeah, he
Man.
did.
I can do that. That's something I can do.
There you go.
Tried to wear a cape and everything.
Be careful what you say, because Mo will sign you up for that.
Yeah.
I need to do that. That would be a fun trip.
It is. It's
Mo and Anita do an amazing job. They organize things.
That's what I hear. Everybody just has a blast.
It's the best money for your.
We've all been on it.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah. They do a great job. I give a quick little plug. If you're looking to go on a cruise, let alone the Mighty Moe's BMX cruise, anything Royal Caribbean, get a hold of Anita Tillman. She's a travel agent exclusively for Royal Caribbean, and she'll take care of you.
Yeah.
Well, Chris just got another bro deal out of that one.
Yeah.
Jeez. Patterson, you can fill that check out to Chris Beer.
You were saying something about the goggles, and I got a great story. So, I had a goggle contract with Amy, and I had grips and goggles. You had to wear the grips, you had to wear the goggles. I hated wearing goggles. I felt confined, and you know. So my deal was I had to wear them on the helmet, just like you were talking about.
Okay. And so you just strapped it across the back of the helmet, and then put them up on the visor on the front.
Yep. If you look at a lot of photos, you'll see that with the goggles on my helmet, but I never wore them. And we're in Australia, and we're on the starting gate, right, for the main event for the Australian-US Challenge. And this was the first international big US Challenge race. And
right there.
It's pouring rain, and it's kind of sandy, right? And I love that photo right there, that tabletop. That's a classic.
We'll talk about that when we're done with the Amy story.
So, you know, and I was a contract rider. I was getting money every month like clockwork for years. And Bob Paley, the owner of Amy, I love those guys, big fans. And somebody hands me a pair of goggles on the starting gate, and they're Oakley. And they are, that is their arch enemy at this point. They're in a lawsuit together. I mean, it's horrific. Oh. I freaking win. The only race of my life, I win. And I get a cover shot, a centerfold. I'm on the cover of what was like the New York Times in Australia. And just huge amount of publicity, right? That contract was in 50 pieces by the time I hit the U.S. And
oh no!
Oops!
Oh, you better believe it. It was they dropped me like a hot potato, and they should have. That was my learning of a contract.
Tough
lesson.
Were you able to turn that back around at any time, or was that the end of that completely?
Well, I never signed anything with Oakley, so I just used Amy Grips for the contingency after that. There's no hard feelings on my part. I'm sure there's none on theirs, you know, but it meant for a good story later.
Gosh. Oh, I can just imagine. Oh,
yeah. There's some on the on the helmet there.
Yeah.
Yep. There we go.
Oh man. What's the story on the one with the tabletop and the picture and the tabletop?
Oh, that was. We were doing. It was halftime of a Supercross. First of all, Supercross is my favorite. Right. That's my favorite sport. And a lot like most of the BMXers love Supercross.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we were asked to come down and do this photo session. And there was two riders from each team, each major team. And we did a double jump together. And we did a single jump together or by ourselves. And there it is. That was in front of 50,000 people. And that picture, what you're not seeing, was a double jump, was me and Brent Patterson. Well, Brent Patterson sucked at jumping. And he sucks, right? He's the fastest guy on the planet, but he can't jump for nothing. The picture, Mike McGuire sent me the actual photograph. I have the actual photograph, and Brent's doing a one-hander. I mean, that's, come on. A one-hander, bro?
And you're doing this?
Yeah, but I told him, I said, before we hit this jump, I said, dude, boom. I'm going off. I'm letting this thing out. And I hit this jump, and I'm about 15 feet in the air, full on flat tabletop. Just, I don't think you get any flatter.
I don't think so.
I think you could put a level
that
on
right
that.
There.
You look bent in half for sure.
I land,
and I'm not perfect landing, right? And I tumble and fall, right?
Oh.
The stadium went insane.
I bet.
I mean,
wow.
Was I know this... what, you know, Michael Jordan feels like when somebody...
50,000 people is a lot. That's a hell of a crowd.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
Was the jump... like on the racetrack, or was this built for you guys?
They built it for us. Okay. It was like in between, like a left and right hand straightaway.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just groomed in the center, and it was the flat ground. I mean, it was.
Oh, geez.
I mean, it was hardcore. And we came out of, we started up like in the stadium. We came riding down the stadium and shooting through these doors, and just boom. You know, it was nuts.
No big pillows to catch you like they.
Oh, no airbag.
Airbags. That was the word I was looking for.
No Nitro Circus here. This was flat to flat.
So,
you know?
So you landed on flat ground after that.
Flat ground. And,
oh, dang! Yeah. I bet that did not
ring my bell, but it was worth it, man.
That's a hell of a photograph. That is for sure.
And the Pattersons, they were so funny. You know. It'd be like, you know, they'd win whatever Grand National, you know, title. They'd get a car and whatever. And we all would wait for the next BMX action to come out. And there's Cruz on the cover. And like, dude, you don't win anything.
Why is he always on there?
But
is he always on there?
It goes back
style,
to that,
man.
It goes back to that old saying, man. Style outlasts results.
There you
People
go.
People will yep. remember style for so much longer than someone with just banging results.
Yeah.
Plus, yeah, they. I joke about it, but they were great cyclists. They truly were great. You know, BMX brothers, if you will.
Hey, speaking of that, was it Rick in the chat earlier, Melissa, that asked about the brotherhood? How did?
Yeah, he talked about it.
Oh, that's
why I didn't ask.
BMX brotherhood.
Well, yeah. I was just curious, like, how'd the idea of that come up and the name and all that for that?
The little logo.
You know, that was just literally a midnight binge, you know, me on the computer making stuff. And yeah. It came about from Frogtown. I was at Frogtown, and I just kind of, if you know me, I'm a very emotional guy. I mean, I cry at movies all the time, and songs come on, and I cry, and I'm a total basket case.
Dude, I thought you were a tough guy.
No, dude, not even. Don't let the tattoos fool you. They're rub on.
They're rub on.
And I was sitting there, and I just was seeing guys that I hadn't seen in 40 years. And we picked up, right, just like we saw each other last week. And I just was so moved. I was like, man, this is such a brotherhood. I don't know anybody in my life that has a relationship with friends for 30, 40, 50 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, has that brotherhood, that bond. And whether you're a big pro or, a legend of the sport or just starting out, it's we're all a team, you know, we're all the same level. You know, I have a great story. I was at the hotel and at Frogtown. And I came out in the parking lot, and there's this little kid and his mom and dad, and little kid was riding this department store bicycle with this pie plate on it. And the whole, it was obviously his first race. Huh. And they're telling me that, you know, they heard about this event at Frogtown and, you know, thought it would be fun to see what BMX was all about. And, wow. You know, did we have any tips? And we were just talking about giving this little kid these tips. And I'm standing there and it was David Clinton, me, Bob Harrow.
Holy.
And I'm like, this doesn't happen. You know,
people had no clue who any of you were.
None whatsoever, but they had a blast at the event. And I know for a fact, Bob Harrow and David Clinton went up to the little kid and cheered him on at the event and, you know, gave him props.
Wow.
And like, if they only knew, you know, the level of support they were getting from, you know, the history. So,
right. Can you imagine your first race being an old school event at Frogtown? That's pretty sweet.
Frogtown and Dirty Fast, they have, Todd Huffman and Johnny Valdez have really tapped into a unique thing and really inspired a lot of us has-beens to get re-plugged into BMX.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. It's awesome.
We got we have Todd coming on the show here in a few, I think a month.
Oh, ago. The Huffman.
Yeah, he'll be on.
He's legit. I mean, you talk about successes, you know, from BMX, and I always love to, you know, what they went on to do with their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And by and large, most of the BMX has-beens, the legends, have been very successful in their afterlife.
Yeah.
And he's one of them. He's really, really done well.
That's the fun part of this show is, you know, what we're all doing now. And you know, like yourself, you're working for a company at Facebook and making awards and messing around with metalwork. And that's always really exciting to find out.
Yeah.
I love it. I think it's testimony to what this sport has done for all of us. Mm-hmm. You know, what a lot of people forget is I said it earlier, we were just kids riding our bikes. I mean, we're not unlike any other kid out there that started riding. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And we didn't think we were going to be a leader in a sport or an icon or whatever you call it. We're just kids riding bikes.
Well, you talked about the brotherhood and what you observed at Frogtown, you know, and Chris had the story before the show about meeting you at Waterford Oaks, you know, many moons ago. And the impact that left on him, and just like, you know, you guys just started talking about it before we started the show, and like picked right up where it was. And what year was it?
Yeah, it would have been, I would say, it was 84. It was 1984. I was like
30. Chris, that I'm telling you, that's the only race I ever won. And I think there was a local I might have won. And so you've been part of a big part of my life.
That's amazing.
Oh, thanks, John.
That's awesome. So Tim in the chat wanted to know if you were familiar with one of our other local celebrities, Solon Foster.
No, that's never, ring a bell.
Never raised him.
And
This is where I
plead the fifth because of my age.
There you go.
Take exactly. We can just plead BMX.
So come on, give me a break.
I don't know how old Solon is.
He would 50s? Be 50. Let's see, I'm 55, 54.
I tell you, I do remember going to a lot of the local tracks across the country on tours and riding with local guys. And there's some really good talent out there. And I have to say that the only reason they haven't gotten the publicity is they're not in California. Mm-hmm. You know, it was such a, SoCal, NorCal driven, community, you know, the whole magazines and the magazines are what made us popular. Let's be real. Mm-hmm. I like to say that, you know, we were all just kids on bikes, and it was the John Cars and the Bob Osbornes that made us superstars in a sport. If it wasn't for the magazines, we'd just be kids riding bikes. You know? So.
I know I've said this 100 times on here, but man, you just couldn't wait for the mail to come and get that new BMX Action or BMX Plus. You know, and then shoot, that went to school the next day. Oh. Study hall? No, we studied BMX magazines.
God, and we were the same way. You know, I was the same way. I mean, we lived for the next magazine. I remember, you know, going to the 7-Elevens and on tour and us all buying an issue and, you know, going to the motorhome and, you know.
Seeing how many times you were in there.
And how many times I was in there and collecting that contingency and Patterson crying because he won a car, but he didn't get a picture in the magazine.
Well, that sounds like something to cry about for sure.
You know, those guys won like 3 cars between them.
I mean, I was just going to say that. Yeah. I think Brent had one and Brian had 2.
Silver spoon babies.
I can't wait to be a fly on the wall to see you guys all get together.
I tell you, they earned it though. Those guys, I remember Brian. So Patterson Racing gave me a contract in the late years, and it was one of these deals. They're like, we're gonna sponsor you, we'll pay for your racing, but you got to work in the warehouse. I'm like, how's that work?
You know? He says, how's that work?
Yeah.
I mean, what am I going to do in the warehouse? So any like fan mail that came in or any orders, there was Johnny C filling the box and taping it and shipping it, right? Oh,
so you might have shipped this shirt to me.
I probably shipped you that jersey. And I can almost guarantee it, because I tell you, Brent and Brian weren't shipping nothing. So I remember driving home one day, and we had this long hill. It was Skyline Drive in Hayward, California. And it was this monster mountain of a hill, right? And I'm driving home after my 9-to-5 sponsorship. and Brian's doing sprints on that hill. I mean, I could barely walk the hill, and he would sprint that thing over and over and over till he just bled out of his nose. Ugh. And those guys were just animals. They were, I mean, Brian especially, God, he was just a monster of training and starting gates. I think they had the very first, you know, electronic starting gate in existence.
Oh, yeah, and that was in one of the magazines. They had a little picture of that in BMX Action.
Yeah, and they would do this for hours, just training. And, you know, I'd chase the girls and streak and do whatever. But
funny.
You know.
Yeah.
Neither one of them could outride me, but they could certainly win against me.
Yeah, actually, I've been in that warehouse.
In the old Patterson warehouse?
Yeah. Oh gosh, what was that? I used to know this. I was such a weirdo when I was a kid.
Claw Winter.
It was Eden Landing Road.
Eden Landing Road and Claw Winter off Highway 92 in Hayward. I still go by that warehouse. you know, now Brett and Brian own, you know, before them, they were renting the building. They own a building right down the street that's really big.
Oh, for the fire suppression company?
Oh, yeah. They're one of the largest fire system companies in the nation. I mean, their father started it, and Brent and Brian took it on, when they were young adults. I mean, we were teenagers. We would go out on jobs and be in downtown Oakland in the middle of the night, you know, scraping fire hoods and stuff like that. And
oh, gosh.
Brent and Brian took that company over, and it was, you know, it was this big, and turned it into this massive company.
Wow.
They really, really have done an amazing job at their business.
Oh,
and to this day, a lot of their family works for it in the business.
Ah, cool. Well, yeah. when we get them on here, we'll ask each of them about it.
Ask them if they're jealous of my magazine covers.
Do you know how many you have?
It's got to be 60 or 70. Oh, no. I mean, yeah, no, I'm just kidding. I think I have, I want to say 4 or 5 covers.
Hey, that's not too shabby. You know how many I got?
How many?
0.
Dude, you're young. You got to get ahead of you.
Hang on to the dream, Chris.
Maybe we can start our own magazine, and we'll get you on there.
That
and you can get one, and we'll hang it up, and that's it.
That was one of those things. I always thought, you know, one of these, you know, like, because I only raced like at Waterford Oaks when they had the national. There was the only national I ever went to as a kid, and I always like, oh, this issue should have Waterford Oaks in it, and I had every picture. Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I'd be in the background of a picture, and I could say I got in the magazine, but nope.
I used to look to see if I was in the background too. I just wanted to be in the magazines. I think one of the covers, and it's not definitely not a cover of me, but it's a Waterford cover of, I think it's me.
Yeah, it's you.
Perry and Greg Hill going into the first turn, and Greg's getting squirrely or something. They're elbowing. They hook up, and right after that picture was taken, I made the pass and won that national.
Yep. That's in our little slideshow there. It's a BMX Plus cover.
Gotcha.
Yep.
You know, I had one friend. Remember the NBL publication?
One?
Yeah. I had one. Wait, I got to finish that statement. I had more than one friend. Thanks for the pickup on it. I had one friend that made
Come
the cover.
Come on, Justin. You got two. I'm here.
I think I got three. I got three. Pretty sure of it.
Yeah.
Melissa,
I don't know. The jury's out. Ask me tomorrow.
Yeah. I'm here too.
I had one buddy make the cover of the NBL publication, whatever the name of it was back in the day.
Oh, Bicycles Today.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Never heard the end of it, right?
He bought extras, and you'd just be randomly hanging out, and it'd pop up. He'd be like, "Just want to mention." I was like, "That was
I got one right here in my back pocket."
you'd go to your gear bag, and it'd just be laying there, and you're like, "Man, oh my God!"
Did he autograph?
It was practice, and it was practice too, and we figured out. Because, again, this was all before his social media and all that. So it was magazine, and we found out it was from practice. Because we're like, we sat and we're running the races back through our head. Like, there was never a race you led.
Yeah.
Like, we're never been this good. So we're like, and we're damn sure didn't at a national. Like, the only way we would have been in the lead is if everyone fell in the gate. And we're the only one that made it, standing in the gate. And then we're like,
right.
Then we found out it was from practice because we found the photographer, and we're like, when did that – and he's like, practice. Man, after that, it was game over. And then a decade or so later when
there are a lot of pictures in the magazines of the pros that is from practice. Because I'll see pictures of me to this day pop up, and I'll go, God, I was like 14 years old. Why am I riding and racing Stu Thompson, you know? And it's practice, you know.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That's... Absolutely.
It must have just been
kind of hard to do some of that stuff when you're racing, isn't it? I mean, you can't style as well as you can.
The eye candy can do anything.
All right. Point taken.
No. A lot of that stuff is just in between motos and, you know, photo sessions. I had a picture in a magazine of me jumping off of a wall, and it was a photo session with John Carr, and we're at the beach in LA, and there's literally this wall, and it had to be 15, 16 feet high. And he says, "You think you could ride off of that?" And I'm like, well, you know, I'm not going to tell him no, but I just rode off a 15 foot vertical wall on the flat, you know.
Oof.
I mean, oh, man. What an idiot.
That just sounds like
anything for a photo, right?
Yeah, that's kind of like the Tracer Finn story where he jumps the piano, that famous picture, and lands in the road.
Oh, have you guys had Tracer?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, a couple times.
Couple times.
I gotta watch that episode. I'm sorry, I haven't seen it. He is the coolest guy.
Yes, he is.
He is one of those guys that. You put him in a crowd, and he's always the happiest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He just gets along with everybody.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
Can't say a bad thing about him.
He's
honestly don't know anybody that ever said he elbowed me or whatever.
He sacrifices fingers.
Right.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. And he hung out afterwards and talked in the chat afterwards. And Melissa and him planned our wedding.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I don't know about all that. And I've performed about a dozen ceremonies.
Good to know. Put that on the back burner.
There you go.
So especially if we go on the cruise. We'll be able to.
I'll
bring my documentation.
Someone's got to put a ring on it first.
As long as I got to go pick that El Camino.
There's an El Camino in there, too, somewhere.
Not first. Hey, John, Rick Carter wanted me to mention or ask you about Red Devil.
Red Devil. So it's one of those, I mean, everybody's got their local BMX scene, you know, whether it's called Honda Hills or, you know, whatever. Red Devil was a place in, I think it was Foster City, Hayward area. And if you think about the Bay Area and all the names of a sport that came out of the Bay Area, everybody rode Red Devil. I mean, Red Devil was just the shit. I mean, everybody rode Red Devil.
I've been there. It's pretty damn cool back in the day. Yeah.
It's got to be bulldozed by now, huh?
I would guess just because of where it was like right on the edge of a neighborhood, and I would assume there's houses there now. But
yeah, right on the edge of a neighborhood and a freeway, Foster City, Union City, I believe is the area. But Red Devil was awesome.
Was this like a jump spot or a practice?
Yeah, it's like trails.
Total single lane, you know, just jump after jump after jump type thing. And
Rick said it's fenced off. Yeah. So I don't know if that means it was preserved and it's fenced, or if it's fenced off, you can't get in there.
Let's cut that fence.
It was a pretty cool place. So when I say I've been to the warehouse and that stuff, we went there on a family vacation, and we went to San Francisco and all that stuff. And we ended up, the original thing was we were going to go take a picture in front of the sign that said Hayward, California. Well, then we come across the bridge, and that's why I remember the name of the road, Eden Landing Road. It's right there. I said, "This is the road it's on." And my parents are like, "What do you mean?" I said, "It's on this road, the Patterson place." So we drove down the road like a mile or three or something, and there it was. And we went in there, and Vance was in there and got to meet him. And he gave us like the tour, and he goes, "Hey," and we had our bikes with us because we were racing. Said, "Hey, my brother,
this is where John sleeps right over here."
No, but you know who was there? It was Rick Palmer.
Oh yeah.
Okay, he was there, and so then Vance took us to Red Devil, and my brother and I got a ride there Palmer.
That, well, I mean, can you believe it? I mean, that's like going to the Forum and playing basketball with the great, you know. I mean, you went to the two iconic places. Well, Rick Palmer is really an understated racer. He was an animal. That kid was so good. But he, you know, he just never got really big. He and Mike Salito was another great rider back in the day that never really got their recognition. But Rick Palmer, yeah, I'm still friends with those guys. Still talk to them. They're great people.
I wanted to comment on these like old school jams with, you know, Frogtown, Dirty Fest, Texas, BMX Classic days. And, you know, you had said earlier in the interview, you know, you were part of the forefront of the sport when you were out on tour. Well, now you guys are all on the forefront of these, you know, bike events, these bike get-togethers. And it's got to be a pretty cool feeling, and especially the growth they've had just in the past few years for yourself being part of another movement within the sport again. What's the biggest part of these, you know, Frog Towns and Dirty Fest that's been for you? What's that big thing for you?
I think a lot of it is probably twofold. I racing is totally different than it is today than it used to be.
Sure.
The tracks are different. The equipment's different. It's evolution, right? I don't fault it, blame it. Mm-hmm. I love it. And if I were in my peak in today's market, I would have been right up there doing the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. But the sport came from somewhere, and it's different riding style. And I love seeing clipped in guys, you know, racing some of the tracks that they're putting out again. And, you know, the downhill tracks like Dirty Fest and Frogtown, you know, that's really cool to see. But for me personally, I think the more of the movement is seeing all my old friends. It's like a lot of the guys in high school, or a lot of guys my age, talk about their college days, right?
Mm-hmm.
College parties and what they did in college and, you know, all this stuff around college or high school. And BMX was my college, was my high school. It was so this is my reunion. And it's just good juju to see people do good for themselves after all these years, mm-hmm. you know, financially, physically, mentally, you know. It's just so cool to reconnect. I like one of the guys that probably doesn't know how much he meant to me, but is Bobby Woods. Growing up racing Bobby, you know, he was SoCal and I was a NorCal guy, and we had our first cover together. And I'm so proud of him, of the man that he is. That sounds corny to say I'm proud of him, but I really am proud of him, of who he is today. And I love talking to him. And when I see him, we just immediately give each other a big hug. And mm-hmm. I just think that's so cool, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of your class reunion.
It's a total class reunion. And I kind of felt guilty for a while there. I was like, yeah, you're living in your past, you know, come on, bro. You know, you were a kid.
I say that all the time.
You're a has-been.
Right?
You had been.
But, you know, it's okay to live in the past. I mean,
sure.
You know, I guess, acknowledge it and be proud of what we created, what we contributed to this world. You know, I always tell my kids, you know, the measurement of a man is not how much he makes or what his successes are. It's how many lives he touches. And I truly live my life trying to make a difference in other people's lives. And it's just one-on-one or a group or I try to make a difference. And I know I have an impact on this world. So I'm proud to be a BMX Brotherhood. So
yeah. Yeah, so you kind of just answered my question. I was going to ask. So none of us get out of here alive. We all are going to go sooner or later. How would you like to be remembered? Wow. I guess you just said it.
certainly that I made a difference, right? I made a difference in lives and touched people in a way that brought them laughter, you know, hope, inspired them in some way. And, BMX has been a big, I should say bicycles have just been a big thing. You know, if you think about it, I started racing at, 8, 9, 10, somewhere in there or something. And I sold my store probably 6, 7, 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's a long life of eating, breathing, sleeping, bicycles.
Yeah, it is.
Won't argue that.
Every day of your life. So, yeah.
Well, good for you. Awesome. And thank you for sharing all of that. That's pretty pretty amazing story.
That is awesome.
Do you still ride?
I do. It ain't pretty. But it's Fat Man on an e-bike. I can still rip it up a little bit.
Of course you can.
I still enjoy cycling. I need to do more of it for my health purposes. I got into road riding years ago and would do a century or two every year. And that really inspired me. I've kind of gotten this itch that I'd like to start putting in some high mileage stuff to see if I can get back in Lycra and,
I mean, you can always get in. I think it's out that's harder.
It's sausage all the way. That's what I look like. But yeah, that's why it's all black. You know,
get it as slimming as you can.
Once you can, just grease that Lycra up.
Are you ready to do a trivia?
Sure, let's rock it.
All right, we're going to do Melissa's World Famous Trivia, brought to you by Bombshell Racing Systems. You guys make sure you get over there, check them out at Bombshell Racing Systems, some of the latest and greatest in the BMX racing. You got a good one tonight, Melissa?
I hope so.
All right.
You ask me that all the time, and I never know.
You know.
Oh, it's got to be a good one. Just make sure you don't answer, John.
Yeah, don't answer yet.
we had a guest one time. We asked a trivia question, and they answered it.
hey, it's good to go.
It happens. All right.
Hey, Seth, thanks for joining, man.
I got a sticker pack with some danger snacks going out to the winner.
There we go.
All sorts of new stuff in there. I think this is a new Huck sticker and 110 nutrition, all that good stuff. And then our bestie over at Ghettoware sent us a new package of stuff. Thank you very much, sir.
Ghettoware.
Pick me.
Yeah, so there's a nice cap going out to the winner. And then last but not least, I should take this out of the package. A Bombshell t-shirt. To go out to the winner. I don't know. Can you see that pretty well?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So my question for the group is we started talking about John's BMX career and some of the sponsors he had. He told us specifically who he remembers it very vividly, who his very first BMX sponsor was. So get your answers in the chat, and the first one with the correct answer will get the prize pack.
Yeah, all right, Chris, you want to let them know who is going to be on next week?
Yep. All right, so next week we're going to have Mr. Henry Serra on, the no-holds-barred fellow. We got our, what, we get about 3 minutes into our chat, maybe?
We got a little bit in there, and then he got smoked by a big storm out there.
Yeah, he lost power at the house, and so he's coming back. We're going to try again.
Third time's a charm, we know that.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so we're going to have Henry on. We're pick up where we left off or start over, I guess, because I don't think anybody saw that unless you were watching the live one. But we're going to do that. So that'll be next week.
It's all right. Always a good time.
Yep.
Well, we're looking for some winners here.
I got one.
Did you already?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Apparently it wasn't a very difficult question.
Wow.
This particular gentleman was paying attention.
Yeah, he was, too.
Yeah.
All right. John, what is the answer? What was your very, very first sponsor?
Todd's Fine Cars.
That is right.
That's it.
That's what I had written down anyways. Mr. Tim Weiss was the first gentleman in the, well, I don't know, gentleman. First.
Yeah. That's debatable.
Just kidding, Tim. Love you. First guy in the chat with the answer. So, well, we run into you all the time, so I'll just be handing you your prize pack.
I'm going to throw one of these in that he's going to win also.
Oh, that's wonderful, John. Sweet. Thank you so much.
The Man Cave BMX stuff. I'll send it to you guys, and you get it to him.
Oh, yeah, we definitely see him all the time.
Send it here, that's and we'll get it to Tim.
He just local. Works down the road. He can come over and pick it up.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah. Sweet.
Did you have anything, Chris, anything else?
Yeah, I did want to ask you about one more thing real quick.
You sure you don't want to wait for round Moto
2? Well,
we
could do Moto 2.
No, we're going to book Moto 2.
Oh, definitely. Okay, we'll save it.
So that was called a teaser, ladies and gentlemen.
There we go.
We need to do Moto 2. I don't know if this can handle all of this, but me and Miranda or me and the Pattersons, I'll sneak in their motos. How's that?
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
We can set that up.
Okay.
I'd love to do that.
John, we want to, when we wrap up here, what we'd like to do is we'll toss it over to you for any shout-outs, thanks, final words, and we'll wrap up. But don't jump off right away because we're going to book your next show and then chit-chat with you a little bit after we're done here. But we want to toss this over to you so you got a few minutes to say thanks and shout-outs, all right?
Well, of course, I want to thank just everybody in the BMX Brotherhood for supporting me and being a part of my life. And I hope I've made a difference in your life in some way. My mom and dad for putting up with all the BS, you know, in the racing. I especially want to thank the Patterson family who have supported me in ways that you just have no idea. How thankful I am and how humbled I am for your generosity. And all my sponsors in the past and my sponsors in the future, Haro Bikes, I appreciate you believing in this old man and back out on two wheels. So we see you out at the races. Come say hi.
All right.
I'd love to see you.
That's amazing.
Okay. Well, good deal.
I want to say thanks. We all here appreciate you coming on and look forward to Moto 2 already.
Yeah.
We got a lot more to talk about.
Sure.
Batter's ready.
There you go.
Chris, you want to take us out of here?
Okay. Yeah. John, thank you. It's been a complete pleasure to talk to you.
Absolutely.
It's pretty cool. So thank you for doing
Chris,
that.
Chris, Justin, thank you. You know, really humbling. Thank you for keeping our sport alive. So,
we appreciate that. Thank you. All right. So next week will be Mr. Henry Serra. We'll talk to him next Wednesday. We'll see you then. God bless you. Take care, everybody. Good night.